Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The procedures of this body are very clear. The rules that we operate under have been put in place for quite some time, and I think it's important that we follow the rules and the procedures that we set forth, and especially when it comes to something as important as working on contract negotiations. I mean, we have committees set up for a special purpose, and that is each committee is meant to specialize in a certain area for the board. So if we're going to bypass those committees, we're kind of circumventing the whole procedure of the board and making a mockery out of our system in our rules. So I think it's important that the Personnel Committee, which, by the way, is taking up this item in our regular meeting next week. When we had the agenda-setting meeting yesterday, we did schedule the topic of the possibility of a voluntary settlement with AFSCME District Council 48. I made the commitment to some of my colleagues on this board that it would be heard in committee and it would receive a fair a vote, and that's the plan. It's on our agenda. It's going to go through in our committee. I don't know what purpose is served by circumventing that process and jumping ahead just by 1 week and going around the Personnel Committee. I mean, how does the county benefit by this body breaking its own rules and policies and asking to pass this resolution today, as opposed to waiting through the regular committee process, have it go to the committee next week, Friday, and then to the board meeting the following week? There's really no benefit to the county to have to rush through and do this. That being said, I'm offering this amendment. If this body decides that it does want to circumvent its rules and its past practices, and what this amendment does say is it directs the Personnel Committee to affirmatively take action to direct the labor negotiator to begin those contract talks. And it's important, I think, for all of us to remember that it's spelled out in county ordinances. The Personnel Committee has to provide the direction under ordinance to the labor negotiator to do negotiating. So what this amendment here... Is this my amendment, Rick? I'm just looking at this, and this one looks different. The one that was passed out actually is not my amendment. Okay. Okay. Sorry about that. Do you want me to continue, even though I have the... Harris has an amendment number two, so she's actually behind me.
Yeah, well, Supervisor, we'll have to vote yours up or down, and then Supervisor Harris comes, because yours was number one, Supervisor Harris is number two.
So basically what it does is the resolution as is written directs the labor negotiator to go negotiate. My amendment would have the resolution direct the Personnel Committee to direct the labor negotiator to negotiate, and that way it would keep us in conformance with our ordinances. Thank you.
Okay, are there any discussion on this, Supervisor DeBrun?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The amendment I'm discussing is one by Supervisor Sanfilippo. It's titled Amendment Number 1. It has two pieces to it. I'm not clear by reading the language under number one really how substantially different it is than the current language, and I'd ask Corp Counsel to describe that to me or to all of us since the item just came before us. But under number two, it's very clear that the change in number two requires approval by the Personnel Committee of any tentative agreement.
Number two in what?
Number two in amendment number one, paragraph two. Amendment number one by Supervisor Sanfilippo. It requires, inserts the words, and approval by the committees of personnel and finance and audit. And as Corporation Counsel just described a few moments ago, what is required in the statutes currently is that the committees hear the items and take action on them, whether they vote them up or vote them down. So I would hope that you would not support this amendment, but I would also request a further explanation as to what paragraph one actually does. I think there's clearly an attempt to substantively change it, and I'm not sure what that is. Can we have that?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Mr. Court Counsel,
I have a follow-up question.
Are you prepared to come up and give your Your opinion on this?
As I understand, the supervisor's question is to the specific language in paragraph 2, the be it further resolved clause in amendment number 1 submitted by Supervisor Sanfilippo. Is that correct? And your concern is about the insertion of the word that any... the language now would read that any resultant tentative agreement shall be subsequently presented for review and approval by the Committee on Finance and Audit. And I think the Supervisor De Bruin correctly observes that that is inconsistent with the language of 80.04 paragraph 1 of the ordinances, which requires only that the proposed tentative agreement come out of the Committee on Finance and Audit with a positive or negative recommendation and then go to the board. So the ordinance does not by its terms require approval by the Committee on Finance and Audit. It merely requires review and a recommendation one way or the other.
Mr. Chair?
Sure.
And I appreciate that explanation. I actually was asking for your view of actually the paragraph number 1.
Oh.
Which
Sorry.
Was inserting pursuant to Chapter 80 of the Milwaukee County Court. It's that very first paragraph. It's not clear to me how this changes the current language substantively. I don't know if it's just put in to read better or whether there's an actual impact to it, and I'd like that described if possible.
Well, as Supervisor Sanfilippo indicates, it appears to change the direction of the resolution so that it now is a direction to the committee rather than a direction to the Director of Labor Relations. I don't know what it substantively adds in terms of how the process proceeds because, as Supervisor Sanfilippo noted, Chapter 80 as well as Chapter 79, I think, of the county ordinances empowers the Committee on Personnel to direct the conduct and set the parameters for the Director of Labor Relations once the collective bargaining process is initiated. So maybe the supervisor himself can shed some light on that. I guess to the extent that it's a legal question, I hope I've answered it.
Okay. Could you shed some light on it from your perspective?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, and thank you very much for my colleague and all my colleagues. The problem that I'm trying to prevent here is a couple of months ago we went through the same process with the nurses' contract where it didn't go through the personnel committee, it came from the board. So we ended up with a situation where our labor negotiator was told, go negotiate, you know, a contract, but he wasn't given any direction on what to negotiate. The matter, the board didn't tell the negotiator this is what to negotiate. It never came to the personnel committee. The personnel committee never met and discussed, okay, we're going to negotiate with the nurses. What exactly are we offering? So what this resolution as written does is tell the labor negotiator, go negotiate a contract. How does he know what is going to be acceptable to us or not without direction coming from the personnel committee, as it should be according to statute? So what I'm trying to prevent here is to take the process where our labor negotiator goes back to District Council 48, comes back to us, and we say, no, we don't like that. Go back and change this. And then we have this ping-ponging back and forth. If we're going to negotiate, it's absolutely critical that our labor negotiator knows exactly what it is we want so that when he does go and strike an agreement, he's got confidence he's speaking on behalf of the board so it can come back to us and stands a better chance of being approved. This is the whole problem that got us into this mess back in 2009 to begin with, is the question is, where was the direction coming from? What was going to be acceptable? What wasn't going to be acceptable? So what I'm trying to do is make sure that we adhere to the ordinance, which says the personnel committee must give direction to the labor negotiator. The labor negotiator will have clear direction from us as to what it is that we want, but hopefully to streamline and speed the negotiation process.
Okay. Supervisor De Bruin, I hope that answered your question.
Yes, I'd just like to respond to it, Mr. Chairman, to the concern raised. This is part of an issue that I believe has changed dramatically a change in the view over the responsibilities of the Personnel Committee versus the combined responsibilities of the Personnel Committee and the County Executive over the years. When I was first elected to the board, labor negotiations, the influence on labor negotiations was not only the Policy Committee's responsibility of the Personnel Committee, but also the County Executive. And when then County Executive Scott Walker came into office, he took a very different interpretation of his responsibility and rights in contract negotiations, and it morphed from a situation where in the past the County Executive had a lot of say over negotiations to one in which the County Executive was saying that the statute as written was expanded to claim that the Personnel Committee is the only body that has any authority and responsibility over labor negotiations. I've actually met with the County Executive staff to request that it go back to a better process where it's a combined combination of effort between the Milwaukee County Board's Personnel Committee as well as the County Executive, because in the end the County Executive either approves or vetoes those items, and I think that that's a more appropriate measure. I think what this is doing, I understand the intent of the supervisor, but I think it gets into that broader mix and that broader kind of quagmire. The bottom line is, in normal situations, minority rules of the board are used to, when individual members of the board, there's enough folks that are stymieing a process that they need to happen. And the irony here is that you've got a majority of the board that wishes this proposal to go through, both the nurses' contract as well as negotiations, and yet minority rules are being used by a few key individuals that are blocking that process. And that's allowable. It's fair game. This is politics. It's allowable. But the reason we're here today is because a majority of the board, as well as the County Executive, wants this process to go through. The only reason Personnel Committee wasn't giving direction to Mr. Bao is because Mr. Bao, the Personnel Committee, didn't want the nurses' contract to be negotiated. And then I think Mr. Bao did a very good job, because the nurses' contract, in addition to taking on all of the cuts proposed by Governor Walker, takes on additional cuts that cause additional savings to Milwaukee County that Milwaukee County requested. So in the end, you ended up with a better product. So I think the bottom line is we need to eventually get to a vote to this. I respect the ability of everyone to utilize minority processes the way they want, but I would hope that you would vote against this amendment, because I think it will further muddy the waters and will cause further problems in having this resolution actually be put into effect. Thank you.
Okay. Supervisor Biddle, go ahead. Give me Supervisor Lipson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just wanted to respond to my colleague, the Chairman of Personnel. As my grandmother used to say, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
That's true.
The County Executive and the majority of this board has decided to show some leadership in the interest of saving money for our taxpayers. This is what this is about. This is about savings. We could be here today talking about the nurses' contract with the fiscal note that was prepared, enough time for a special meeting to be considered to save $1.7 million to our taxpayers. Right now, we are considering a resolution not to pass a contract with DC 48, just to talk, just to have a conversation, to see if we can get any more significant savings to our taxpayers and to promote labor peace to our public sector workers. I don't understand what the big deal is here. This resolution was prepared before last cycle's meeting, and it was ignored. And no one wants to talk about that, but it was ignored. And this is the why. And this is the reason why you have Supervisor Harris and myself and a majority of our colleagues here today and a bunch of people in the back of me demanding that this county board show some leadership. The County Executive had enough to come in and show some leadership.
Excuse me.
This county board needs to show some leadership. And we can talk all day about protocol and procedure and wine and talk about all these issues that don't have anything to do with saving money. But the bottom line is this. We're going to get this done today. We're going to save our taxpayers' money. And if the personnel chair wants things to come to his committee, then he needs to work with the majority of the board so we can start saving taxpayers' money and stop losing money And that's the thing that no one wants to talk. We are losing hundreds and thousands of dollars a month. We lost money over the past couple of years because we do not have an agreement in place. We have a WERC ruling that could cost us millions of dollars because of implementation of furlough days. And for some reason, folks want to drag their feet when it comes to saving taxpayers' money, when they're supposed to be fiscally conservative, concerned about saving money, but don't want to save any money and make any leadership decisions. And so I'm frustrated, and I'm hoping today that the majority of this board decides to actually show some leadership, stand up, and save this county money and promote labor peace for our public sector workers. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Supervisor Thomas, I ignored you before, so I'm not going to ignore you now then.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to add some clarity to the process of receiving a fiscal note. The fiscal note was received on Wednesday. The fiscal note needs at that time to go through our staff and then be referred on to the chairman. So just because it was received on Wednesday does not mean that finance nor personnel can schedule a meeting at that time. I just think that that section of this discussion has been missed, and I think it's a big part of the perception that anyone was dragging their feet, especially the Finance and Audit Committee. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Supervisor Lipson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the amendment, I ask my colleagues to vote against the amendment. The amendment's intent is to strip the resolution of its actual direction. It's effectively, it's an amendment to return us to the status quo, which is apparently what the Chairman of Personnel would like. But it ignores the fact that the point of the resolution is to provide the Personnel Committee with a clear understanding that it is the majority of this board that supports a return to discussions and to negotiations and to attempt to work something out. That is the point. And so adopting the amendment would make the resolution pointless. I think the nurses' contract was a clear example of how we moved forward in the same way to finally at least have some discussions, and that was fruitful. For the Chairman of Personnel to say, Mr. Chairman, that the problem, one of the problems with the resolution is that it doesn't give enough direction, that it doesn't stipulate specific items, I think most people would find that objectionable. Then we would be negotiating this thing right here on the floor. So clearly, that would not be an appropriate resolution. I think that Mr. Bao, as our labor negotiator, has enough understanding of these issues, having had discussions in closed session, and having significant experience in this, and knowing what we've passed in our other contracts and in our budgets, to know what items he should at least begin discussing. And if we pass this today, he could begin discussing that on Monday. And if personnel is going to meet on Friday, he can come back with some real information. And we could be moving this process forward, and that's the intent of the resolution today.
So thank you, Supervisor. Any other further discussion on this matter? Seeing none, Mr. Clerk, call the roll.
Question is adoption of Amendment 1. Supervisors Biddle.
No.
Borkowski.
Aye.
Broderick.
No.
Cesars.
Aye.
De Bruin.
No.
Dmitrievich.
No.
Haas.
No.
Harris.
No.
Johnson.
No.
Jerzyk.
No.
Lipscomb.
No.
Mayo. Rice. Roma West. Sanfilippo. Schmidt.
Aye.
Thomas.
No.
Weishan.
No.
Mr. Chairman.
Aye.
Six ayes, 13
no's. Six ayes, 13 no's. Okay, item passes. I mean, item fails.